Hi everyone, and welcome to Rad Chat. My name's Jo McNamara, and I'm joined by fellow host Namajoka Anderson.
Hi everyone.
So here we are at UKIO, and we have another guest sitting in the hot seat. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi there, my name's John Cottery. I am a retired medical physicist. I'm also one of the organisers of this Congress, which is how I come and get in for nothing. And I'm here to give you some propaganda to generally take over the world, because as we all know, that's what scientists do. They mess with things they barely understand and attempt to take over the world. That's what the Hollywood image says, so I'd like to fit into that. But seriously, I'm hijacking a bit of this to promote some ideas which I've been pushing recently in scientific publications and in a book for the general public and indeed for patients about radiation protection. No, wake up, radiation protection.
Wake up.
And it's revolving around the idea that we all know that the law says that the benefits of what we do would be much greater than the detriments, but we don't really know what those things are in. And as we go towards the patients having more of a right, they always had a right, but more commonly being asked to give consent to radiological procedures, we really need to tell them something a little bit better than what we tell them now. I mean, when I was a radiation protection advisor, I'd get a phone call saying, "Oh, this patient's a bit worried about the radiation." I said, "So you didn't mention effective dose and cancer risk, did you?" "Oh yeah, we did." "Oh no," because what I was putting forward was the idea that the law says that benefit must exceed the risk. So why don't we just tell them that? So imagine my surprise when I attempted to write a single statement in line with that for departments to use. And I found, when it was refereed, that the medics, bless them, came up with a counter-argument which said that, in fact, no, I think you'll find that's a medical decision whether we go ahead with an X-ray examination. And all the law says is that we must be on record as having taken a decision, which was a bit of a surprise to me.
Interesting.
So you mean the benefit doesn't really exceed the risk then? Well, surely it does. Anyway, that led to me thinking about trying to measure this thing quantitatively. And long story short, there is a lot of work done by the World Health Organization, who are not a fly-by-night organization. They're a bunch of real people, and they've done man years of work on a thing they call DALY, D-A-L-Y, which stands for Disability Adjusted Life Years. And this thing they use to measure the world detriment due to all sorts of diseases, and it's a massive project and there's all sorts of data on it. So what I've been trying to do, and I think successfully, is measure the benefit from a radiology examination or a radiotherapeutic procedure against the detriment in the same units, which are to do with these DALY, this disability adjusted life years. So that's happened, and there's a trick to it, and I won't go into the morbid details of it all right here. But the overriding result is that the numbers you get when you compare this benefit to the risk are big. They're big. Sometimes they're very big, like a dental X-ray. It's enormous. And even getting in some heavy-duty stuff in CT, it's hundreds to one. And I've just at the weekend, in fact, Sunday before we recorded this, was working out at the similar logic for some therapeutic procedures like trachea, esophagus, curative therapy regime, breast and prostate, and they're all coming out as hundreds to one. Which sounds very glib to say that. So, because we're supposed to be thinking...
When you say 100 to one, what do you mean?
Right, okay, well this is the number I've invented, the so-called justification factor.
Right.
And what it is actually the rate of change of the benefit that you'll get from having the examination over the rate of change of the detriment you'll get from the radiation.
Right.
The reasons their rates have changed is because if you imagine you go in for a procedure, you come out of the hospital, at that moment you're gaining benefit with time because you've had the procedure and it's worked, and you're also losing a bit of detriment with time because you've had the radiation exposure. And it saves us having to then work out how long your life's going to be to total it up. You can actually work it out as a rate of change. This is a trick, but it's the way I've done it. And if you then walk out of the hospital, get run over by a bus, the number is still right. Not that I want you to go get the hospital, get run over by a bus, but that's why it works that way. And it's an optimistic view because it's like I'm imagining the medic who's taken a decision he doesn't look at the person in front of him and say, well, I don't think I'll do this CT head scan because it might not work, we might not see anything. They might be already too ill to do it. They don't think that way, do they? They think, I'm going to do this procedure and we'll get the benefit from it because I want the best for this patient. So this whole number has got an optimistic viewpoint, but you can analyse the theory behind it. But the point is these numbers are big. And so it looks like all standard radiological examinations will be justified in terms of their benefits exceeding their risk. And the reason is because these numbers show that the optimization that we've done over 100 years of development of X-ray equipment and techniques has paid off. It's worked. That's why we're getting the numbers that I'm getting. So this is not a standard view. You can ask the International Commission on Radiation Protection who set the rules. They've never heard of this yet. Unless, of course, they listen to this podcast, which would be the very way to get through to them. But it doesn't cross anybody's established techniques. It just looks at it all in a different way. And it joins together this work from the WHO with the conventional stuff that we know from analysing the Hiroshima, Nagasaki data, all that sort of stuff, which is where most radiation protection information comes from. So it's all the standard stuff, but looked at in a different way. But the conclusions are surprising, and they are not the conclusions I expected to get. It's all a bit Tom Cruise. So the ICF would be chasing me out of the building now to try and suppress these heretical views that I'm putting forward. It's not supposed to be that way. I have done some publications which have already come out, some more are in the pipeline, and as we were saying, I've just finished the draft of a book for patients and the public to try and put people's minds at ease. That's not artificially, to just tell them what the numbers say.
What's the name of your book, John?
The working title is An Irrational Fear. And then the subtitle is New Thinking on Putting Radiation in Its Place. So whether I'll find a publisher or whether you can look for this on Amazon Books in future, which is where all these other things end up, I don't know. So I'm quite excited about all this, as you can tell. I'm getting looked at in sort of slightly askance by various colleagues who are still thinking about this. The main paper on this has been away at the journal for over 6 months. Now, that's the longest I've ever had a paper away being refereed. I don't know if it means that nobody wants to touch it or what's going on.
Have you asked the question?
I have been in contact. They say, we're trying to find some more referees. Yeah, so we'll see. It'll be all right. But there's already a publication in the Journal of Radiation Protection about this, so the cat is out of the bag.
So there we go.
So thanks very much for listening to this rambling. With a bit of luck, we might get a bit of interest.
Yeah, we look forward to it. Thank you very much for coming on. Right.